grain of rice, a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hey, folks, you're welcome along. Mid-July, another week, another podcast, Irish Examiner here. Just got the news that the pubs won't be opening on Monday. Bad blow for a publican here in West Clare who was looking forward to sampling a taste of a nice tap Guinness, unlike canned Guinness. I'm sick of it. But anyway, we have to get on with it. We'll have to book a meal somewhere shortly. Not that we're short of food, but delighted today. Larry is with us as usual. Delighted today to be joined by an absolute legend. I suppose one of the few players that could play nearly anywhere and be, you know, the best anywhere. Mount Sinn's finest, Ken McGrath. Ken, how are you, kid?
Not too bad, Andy. How are you getting on?
Good. We're all okay. We're not getting the sunshine here in West Clare that you're getting down there in Waterford.
We've 5 or 6 bad weeks now. Only this week is starting to pick up really again, you know. But, Ashok, what can you do? We're blessed down here, boy. We're blessed.
It's a sunny southeast, boy, I tell you. Fed up with John Mullane telling me he's lovely out the back here, Dalo.
He's like a lobster going around this evening. He's only 8 houses up the road from me, Sean. We're on the same street. So I've said that before, remember, but he's out the front, but he loves the sun, that fella.
Does he ever put on a bit of sun cream, I wonder?
He used up all that when he was playing, jeez, he was like a ghost going around, remember, you see, factor 50 on him.
One of the most iconic interviews of all time was Mull, I loves my county after being sent off, but it was also one of the reddest jambalans I ever saw in my whole life.
Under pressure that second half,
you were under pressure centre back and you came up with the goods. He was under worse pressure sitting on the bench looking out.
I suppose, look, it's a mad video. I think he said that once, I think, in his life. I suppose YouTube and all that is really that's how they're keeping it all. That was 16 years ago now, do you know what I mean? So it's mad.
I remember asking him, I said, Mull, the fella at the end of it that said, we love John Milan. Was he one of your own? Oh, he wanted the De La Salle boys, or he said,
he is, yeah. I know him well, more time.
classic. But it was a cameraman's dream, an on-field interviewer's dream, you know, because he won and he got away with it. Now, obviously, missing the semi-final, of course, is the stingy bit in, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I suppose... I don't know whether we were being too noble or not or whatever, but we probably should have appealed him, really. And look, I'm all thought it wasn't the right thing to do, and none of us even pushed it. We just said, look, fair enough, he done it, and after we last had to put up, you know. But I don't know if any other counties would have, best forwards.
He got a lot of kudos for the crime, do the time.
And he wasn't looking for that, because that was just the way he was, you know what I mean? And we were all probably the same at the time. He held his hands up and he done it. What could you do, you know? So he probably felt that it wasn't right. He had something that he knew he'd done, you know?
Yeah. It was a bit like Lynch in 98 for us. We were sure that when we agreed to kind of play Watford again in the third game, that Luckman had gotten Croke Park to say they'd let off Lynch, Lynch back for a third game, fresh and fit and hungry, because he never stopped training with us. That would have been, but geez, by Monday morning, it was quite clear that there's no Lynch coming back, we should have kicked the touch for another while. Ken, you're looking fierce healthy there. You're just back from a bit of a staycation down in the sunny southwest instead of southeast.
Yeah, we were down Kerry for a few days. I suppose we'd all this booked for the last 2 weeks. Dawn is the banks, which has to take about a certain time, and that's it. I'd be flexible enough at Owen, but look, we said we're going to Kerry. I love Kerry. I do a staycation anytime as well. I love to try and do even once a year if you can for a few days. We've done the ring at Kerry, we got the bikes around Muckross House and all that stuff on Tuesday. I loved their heads are wrecked, probably. I was showing them every mountain they were going every day, but it was great crack, looking at ourselves. We've done more fighting than having a crack at times. 13-year-old there, and she's breaking heads in the back of the car Carbon up and down, sure he got killed, you know. But it was lovely. Weather was okay as well, so was Brandon. I love that type of stuff. When sure you're playing, you're yourself and you're playing. Your weekends are spent driving around at times, you're not having a beer with the lads, you're missing all the stuff. So I spent years going places and I always loved it, you know. So
yeah.
It was good crack, it was great crack, you know. But I said, well, I'm off for the week and I'm going to the beach again today, I think. So more chaos for the next 2 hours getting them all ready and then out there for a few hours in here.
Owen is giving you the whole week off, like.
No, I'm actually have to go back in tomorrow and help out, run a bit of pressure. So Dawn is killing me there now, her last day of my holidays. But no, I'm back in tomorrow for a day.
Not so bad of a Friday. Clear, I'll take you back to when you first came to my notice was I think I'm fairly right on this now. I think it was down in Bancha. I think it was a minor match, Clare and Waterford. And down because we three or four lads, we won the minor. I was over our minor team in 95, which is fair old going now for a fella. You wouldn't get the GPA lads to do it now, Ken.
No, that's what I'm saying. Different times, wasn't it? Jeez,
yeah. Seven Sparrow, but we're down, we couple playing, we'd Ali Plunkett playing, we John Pine playing, and down, and this yoke of a centre back. I remember tapping a wall for a fella beside me, and I said, Jesus, who's the centre back? And he says, that's Pat McGrath's son. I said, Jesus, you have a right one coming there, Kev. I says, yeah, he's nearly playing senior already. Like, he says, so you were like, you know, a lot of these guys like who are kind of boy wonders, but they don't come through then, like, you know. I often say that, like, the amount of fellas that were, you know, felt way better than me at 15, 16, but they never played for Clare, like, even with the club, like, they were better than me, you know.
It's mad. Look, you'd see the Tony Forrest as well. Like, Tony Forrest was that's my auntie's husband. That's my uncle. Tony Forrest was our uncle, you know. So we were following that tournament, obviously, religiously growing up, John Warford every August. There was players got there, the tournaments down there, and you'd be saying they're going to be unbelievable. You never saw them. And, but look, that can happen. You know, yourself, you have too much pressure on players at times, you know. But back then, you're allowed to develop at your own pace. You know what I'm saying? There, though? You're like,
yeah.
I remember I was 95. I was 17. I had another year left minor, actually. And said I always loved centre back, and I didn't. The club would often play me there under my own age. And any year, other than that, I was always pushed up or midfield, centre forward, corner forward. So the place centre back for me, I loved it. And it was like a bit of freedom for me to play there. And I remember that day, actually. I remember I moved out to play well enough. The last 10 minutes, I ran out with the steam. But I think Dan was actually playing, Dan Shan, Dave Bennett, me all. We had a decent team. We got the Munster final. Who bet us? Cork bet us very comfortably. Munster final, Dodine, Oli, all them lads, you know. But we got the three minor Munster finals in a row. And that was probably the start for a lot of that group that played maybe 5 or 6 years later. It gives a bit more confidence that we could maybe compete with the top teams, you know. But I remember that game actually. Right past Bancha, working over on Tip and Fairbairn as well. And I wasn't there in years. I looked like I'd pop in for a look, but I felt like there was thousands there. Probably only a couple of hundred, you know.
I think there was a decent crowd now, you know. Whether I know what time of the year it was. It was probably
June, was it? I'd say probably after after leaving, maybe, I think. Yeah,
you played before us then in the Munster final, obviously, like that one we made the breakthrough in, yeah.
Yeah, two Munster finals actually. The 94 one and the 95 one.
Don't mention
we were up for a clear. What's that?
Don't mention 94.
Yeah, Cork beat us in the two Munster finals in 94-95. In 95, we were all there. We were Limerick were after win 94, so we were all for teams trying to make the breakthrough as well. We were screaming for there that day, you know. Unbelievable day as well. A scorcher day, was 95, you know. So
it was.
Yeah, look. That was Joe Dean, Solly, Sean O'Halpine did a very good Cork team. I think they beat us for 9 or 10 points. So, yeah, we were great again in the Munster final, you know. So.
Still getting to three Munster finals, though, gives you a kind of a pool of players as opposed to, you know, a one-off team that would win a Munster, maybe even win an All-Ireland minor.
It gave us a bit of confidence. Because we were, it kind of showed that we could compete. We bet Tipping two of them Munster semi-finals, you know. And obviously Knockout back then, we bet Tip, Liam Cal, Johnny Enright, that team. And that would have given us confidence as well that we could be back clear, you know. Park were a team we couldn't really get on top of, but we knew we were getting there, you know what I mean, that we were kind of starting to compete with the top lads, you know.
And Ken, let me take you right to the end in 11 you're taking off in that league game. So long on from 95, me seeing you. And you knew, just reading about it, you knew just it was over.
Yeah, no. I probably should have gone in 2010. But I came on in the Ireland semi-final up against Tip and I played well enough. I had a decent summer. After the Munster final 2010, I kind of got things right and I trained very hard. I had a good semi-final and I said, right, you know what? I had a decent club championship then. Even though I was 32 and the legs were gone, I'd carry on and play. You know yourself, you never want to go. I trained very hard in 2011, but you know yourself, you know, I was out in that pitch against Cork. I was embarrassed, really, you know. Honestly, it was I couldn't take it off. I couldn't wait to be taken off. And all I wanted to do was walk in, get me stuff and go off. Like, you know, I knew I shouldn't have been there. I was holding up. I was holding probably something back. I couldn't do a tenth of the things I could do 4 or 5 years before that. And
was it just the legs, Ken? Like, was it just
Everything. It was legs, the head, everything was gone at that stage. And I was nowhere near the player I was. And I've said it before, I'll probably say it again. From the 08 Ireland final, mentally, I don't think I recovered properly from it. Now, I played well in 2010 semi-final. I came on about 3 or 4 points against Tate. And that probably gave me a small bit of confidence to say, right, geez, maybe I still can do it, you know. But, no, I was out with Mark and Pat Cronin in Dungarvan. And I can really hear the crowd saying, what's happened? This is terrible, you know. And honestly, it was embarrassing. I was taken off and I walked off and I just couldn't wait to sit down in the dugout and just go home, basically, you know. Now, unfortunately, we were getting a Munster medals after that, so I had to stay around. I remember Don said, "Jay, you got a full game, or you played a game, how are you feeling?" And I was like, "What's wrong with you? How are you?" My head was gone. And she knew it, Jay. She knows, like,
you know, so well, but it's guess, even the people closest to you wouldn't really realise the depth of what you're feeling either, though. Even with Eilish here now, she, Asher, wasn't a good day, but there'll be another day or something like that, she'd say. You're feeling inside like you're broken to bits. You're like,
Oh, yeah. It's over. Said, yeah, geez, you played a game. You got like 3 quarters of a game. And I was like, this is like, I just couldn't. I questioned everything. I questioned when you catch the ball. I questioned hitting the ball, you know.
Yeah.
Mentally, my head was gone for Kennedy Horton. Gone, you know. It's like questioning things that you've done so naturally for years. And I know that sounds like, it's like probably a golfer, getting out of the golfer and he can't putt, or a dart player and he's questioning even trying to get hit a 20. I was the same, really doing everything at that stage, playing county, you know.
Yeah, I've gone back playing a few golf games of golf since the, you know, golf was a thing we were all mad to go back, and I hadn't played a game of golf in a couple of years. And I said, there's a couple of the lads playing me, like, saying, how could that fella ever hurl, like? you can't lift the ball off the ground, like, you know what I mean?
Hitting it
10 yards in front of you, like, it was just,
God, it's crazy, though. Even I'm the same. We were playing, we were on the beach, two days ago on the beach, and the little fella was faster than me. Honestly, I couldn't move, but, like, the body just stops, don't it? We were hitting the ball on the beach with Ali there, and I was looking at every ball hitting it, you know? It's crazy. Yeah.
When I took to the coaching there, I just completely stopped. Once I stopped playing for the club, that last match, county final, did play the Munster club game in 03, and I just stopped. And after that, and then I felt I should be showing fellas how to do different things.
Yeah.
Jeez, I realised after a while I had to call fellas to say hi, show him how to do that there, will you?
Yeah, I was there training young lads outside the last couple of years, and I'd be showing him a drill, and I might say, now you'd be doing it faster than that now. You'd be doing it faster and you'd be doing like I do a good bit of walking and I love that. We're on the greenway is just on the end of our house here on our stage. But I don't do any hard training or physical training or gym or anything. I don't do any of that, you know. It's just a bit of walking, so the physical side of things,
you're still in fair shape, fair play.
I'm not too bad at me.
Come here, you mentioned 208. Just one of those days, like, just what could go wrong went wrong, what could go right for them went right for them. It was just, and as you said, you probably weren't right ever after fully. It was just it's funny, I was on the studio that day was four, I went to Dublin and I was on live that day. And you know the way the RTE box is down that end, you were warming up there. And I think I was with Cyril and maybe it was Liam Sheedy, I'm not sure now, but I just don't think they look right, Watford. I don't know why. I just had that feeling like it was just, it was a misery day. And I've been there like in Munster finals and that, you know, like beating 18 points. And but I suppose for it to happen in the All Ireland final is extra funny, kind of, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I'll be honest. Look, you have to talk about it so much. I mean, thinking about it so many times over the years of what went on and what happened there. The team probably, I know it sounds, in 2007 we were probably at our best to win the All-Ireland, right? It was only a year later, and from, say, 02 to 07, our worst ever chance of winning All-Ireland was 08, we got to it, you know? And I think maybe we don't wait in the whole career for it to get to, say, get to that. Like, we played in probably 6 semi-finals before that, and competitive in every one of them, lost by a point or two and a couple of them, and to get to it, the emotion was we were on such a high after get. And then I think we just, whether we didn't come down or I don't know what happened, but I remember going to Crow Park that day, and I remember being addressed, I remember even got a free after a few minutes saying, these fellas didn't expect that from us. We're brand here. We're not Limerick last year. We're more experienced than that, right? I was thinking myself, in the first 5-6 minutes, 5 minutes later, we were down by 10 points or something, you know. But the whole thing, and when I got on top of it, and I'm even personally, I should have been able to deal with 10 points better than that. Of course, I should have been so many games, playing for so long. But when things went so wrong, so kind of early in that massive, massive match, so hard to snap out of it. We should have been able to do it. We should have. That's my biggest regret, that obviously we weren't going to win the game after that, because they were better than us. They were a better team than us. They started the game so well. But we should have been able to snap out of being in such a kind of a doldrum and such a, this is a disaster. We should have been able to get ourselves somewhere right to be somewhere competitive. You know what I'm saying? That's my biggest regret from it, that. And that's why I really feel embarrassed. Obviously, we are embarrassed from that, such a mate we got. But I'd still to this day really feel embarrassed that, how didn't I deal? I'm taking part of myself now. How personally I didn't deal with that game, the way it was going, or what happened better than that. It's a huge, huge regret, eh?
I often describe it as kind of the pain or the shame, you know? Like the match you lose by a point and you fought the bitter end and maybe just things didn't go your way, or, you know? But the days that you just don't seem to put up any battle, they're the ones that kind of haunt you, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Look, we lost 2006 or in semi-final. I had a free last second. Remember, Donald Cusack stopped to go over. Mm. Like, but you still put up a huge fight, a huge battle. You're involved in a good game. You have a bit of respect anyway from your performance. You know, like, we came out of that game. I remember on the bus going back to the hotel, and there was like people on the side of the road looking at the bus, and it's just, you're ducking your head in the bus. You're embarrassed. Like, you're saying, how did that happen? And all you wanted to do was go back at it and try and go at it again. But you're saying, we're after doing that in our final. The whole country that are watching that. And you're sitting on a bus saying, it's like a bad dream. You know what I mean? You're kind of, it's like you'd have a nightmare home. You go, so you're always late going for matches and you're trying to get into a match and you won't leave the game. And I'm playing that game. It was like that. You just couldn't. But it wasn't a dream. It was reality. And you couldn't get back at it. You needed to get back at it a year later. Or fairly soon to have another go off to show that we're able for this, or we're better than that, but we didn't, you know.
And was it hard to face back to club hurling afterwards? You know, with supporters are great, 95% of them, of course. But yeah, I remember in 94, I think, going back playing in the club championship after being hammered again in the Munster final, you know, after 93-94. And like snipers in from the crowd, like saying, pity you didn't do that against Limerick, like, do you know?
Yeah. No, they weren't too much of that, you know, to be honest with you, because a lot of that team were after giving so much to it, you know. It was more, and was probably nearly worse, it was more nearly pity. And you're saying, all the hurting we done, all the kind of like good stuff we done, this fella's pitying you. That was nearly as bad, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And we ended up getting involved in a relegation battle then with Mount Sinai, our first ever one. We had to wait, and we had a relegation game against Ardmore It didn't happen to be in November. So that was tough going. And Armour weren't bad. You had Tutti and Seamus, Decky, Clinton. You know, yep. They weren't a bad team at all. And any given day, they could have beaten you. But we actually, sweet to deal with that as well then, you know. So it was a tough going. You know, in all fairness, it kind of refocused. We trained very hard with the club. And we played great stuff against Armour. And obviously, we were safe. But do that, it was tough few months at the end of the year. I know sometimes, you know, ourselves, Bale, after a game, the Monday could be good crack, and no matter what happened on a Sunday,
a few
drinks will nearly sort it out. It didn't sort out that.
No, it didn't.
Honestly didn't. Like, the Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesday was like you're edge and all. No getting away.
Someone put on the jukebox there, lads.
No matter what happened there, jukebox nothing's going to work, you know. I said sometimes, normally, if you put beers, you kind of like, you're some way away from it for a couple of hours, but it didn't work at all that Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday.
Again, obviously, as a bunch of players, Ken, that year, you made a huge stand, like, in probably deciding to get rid of Justin. That was a major move. Like, I know you'd been very poor against Clare in that first round.
Yeah, look, I knew you were obviously going to bring up that, and I was thinking, say this morning, or I was saying, looking back, we felt it was the right decision, right? We felt that we were the preparation, I suppose, the train, everything was nowhere near what we were used to and what we were after getting from Justin, and the whole team was used to the setup that what we'd done over, say, 5-6 years. And we just felt it was probably gone to a stage where the relationship was nearly was gone. You know? We made that decision. And in all fairness, the team, every one of us stuck together on that. And no one broke ranks and talked about different things or let loose what happened in that meet, really. And they didn't, right? Which was fair credit to everyone involved. But looking back now, would I do it again? As I say, a player, I finished 10 years now, and I don't think I would. Do you know? Like, looking back, I'd say it was unbelievably hard time for Dustin and stuff. I remember 2016, I was managing my own signing, senior team up at the club. Things weren't going well. And I gave the lads the option of, do they want me to go or not? I actually gave them a vote because my head was wrecked the way things were going, how they were kind of going about things. And ended up, I stayed. We got to the county semi-final. We had a good run, 5 or 6 games unbeaten, Bet De La Salle. That week was one of the hardest weeks I ever had. And I was heartbroken at home. How my own club or my own players were kind of doing this to me, but then I can imagine how that man felt. And sometimes you have to, well, you're playing, you don't really see that, you're a bit selfish, aren't you? You always think that
you
can get more out of it. The team is probably coming, definitely coming towards its end. And we wanted to have our brand, to get more, we want more, but looking back on it, it wasn't a good thing to do, really, you know. But at the time, I agreed. But looking back, I don't think I'd do it again. No.
Yeah, and like, obviously, David come in there and he would give it an unmerciful shot in the arm, like, in terms of different approach and enthusiasm. And obviously, that worked to a huge extent, like, until the final.
He did. He came in. Things were going very poor now for a few months before that with Justin, right? And then Davey came in, and there's no hiding the facts that things weren't going well. There's no glossing over that we weren't going well. And we were on a training camp in Portugal, and it was nowhere near the training camp we were on the year before when we were league champions. We ended up 2007, it was our probably best chance of winning Ireland that year. 2008, something training camp was shocking. It was poor, it was badly run, it was all over the place. You know, so no getting away from that either.
Were you drinking?
No, I wasn't anyway. I don't know. I know in 2007 there wasn't one person broke ranks at all. Everyone was done everything to a TV train 3 times a day. Now, our last day, the FA Cup final was on, the first one in the new Wembley. Justin left us off. He said, and that was his famous words, keep it tidy. Yeah, we weren't tidy. We were far from tidy. That was one of the best days we had as a team.
That was one of his favourite phrases, wasn't it? Keep it tidy.
Keep it tidy meant free for all, you know. But I remember that 2007, and that topped off an unbelievable week's training. And that, you need that as well. You know yourself, you need that. And it was unreal. But in 2008, We were short probably 2 days on the summer camp or the training camp, summer camp. It ended up like a summer camp. One or two lads probably weren't doing exactly what they should have been doing. Not over the top really, but weren't as strict and weren't as focused as the year before. And I think that nearly put the nail in the coffin for Justin and the lads. And then Davey came in. And he did. He came in like a whirlwind. And you know, like he has unreal enthusiasm. And we were after playing against him, obviously, for a good few times over the years. And up against him in different say circumstances on the pitch and stuff. But he came in and he was a breath of fresh air. Like training up probably 20-30% straight away from say the different people around and involved, and the players probably jumped on that. It was a good summer. It was actually a very good summer up to the final. It was a mad crazy summer, but it was good. And he did. He must get a lot of credit for that summer what he done. You know.
Yeah, the scenes on the field, even in the crowd after the semi final, you know, finally in the final, that was something I'd savor. I don't know, I was doing radio or something that day, but it's just, I remember staying on, you know, I could have gone. I think we were off the air and just taking it all in, like I said, it's great for the bunch of players, but it probably for meeting them in a final afterwards. Yeah. You're probably better off getting off the field and saying, you know,
that would mean grand if you were playing somebody else. Aaron Kelly in the final, I was rolling on the ground with Tony. Two was rolling around the ground, and we just kind of lost ourselves a bit, like you know, after winning up in the Ireland semi. But I remember looking back on it now, probably the Kenny lads were at home or whatever. Right, can't wait. We would have been the same at Mount Sion in county finals, you know, watching our teams win in semi finals and what we ever did. We watched reaction, we watched different things, and we'd walk away from those park on guard. So they were obviously doing the same, you know. But you know yourself, when you win a game of that, it's hard. But yeah, we probably just shaking hands and running off the pitch. You know?
Yeah, no, that's easier said than done. I'll take you back, and then you know, I know you. Jeez, they threw you in awful fucking young. They threw you in '96 today on the senior team.
'96, against Tip.
Ramy Ryan, wing forward.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose we would have famously crossed swords first in '98. can you remember much of that as a young lad?
I can. Who's that? Sean Milan. Yeah, look, geez, it wasn't easy. I remember I think unbelievable player, one of the best players, and definitely one. Hardest players in America, definitely Shawnee, Corcoran, Ryan Whelan, Kieran Carey. There's three or four that were so good. And for me, it was great. You're learning your kind of trade, your apprenticeship against them. Now, at the time, looking back on it, it was great to play against them players. But when I was in it, I wanted to do better and better, you know. And I thought, I was disappointed with the Munster finals that I played in the drawing game and the replay. I was okay, but I didn't do an awful lot. It didn't impact the game, you know. It's definitely, I wish, even looking back on '98, if I was 23, 24, it might have been a different story for that team, because we had a chance that year as well. We all had chances, in all fairness, right? It was a mad year. But it didn't impact them matches at all. They were great. They were great occasions, weren't they? The crowd was massive. The buzz around Thurles, then a couple of games.
You should have won the first game, like, there's no doubt about, you know, once you had to run us. I know Flinner's free was away out, but you wouldn't bet against him nailing it, like. But
we had a chance now. I didn't see them games for years. I could have watched them years and years ago when they were only after happening, but I know the weather wasn't great, the two games, so wasn't. It was kind of helter-skelter stuff. It was a lot about pulling and dragging. There was kind of like lashing the rain at times. So it wasn't brilliant matches, but they were exciting and they were very tough.
Yeah, sadly. But did, like, between the draw and the replay, did you reckon like there was going to be as wild as it was in the replay?
Not really, no. obviously, you were the team that we were trying to come up to. Like, you were obviously the favourites, two other ones in the couple of three years before that. So we knew how good you were, what you were capable of. So we were when we knew we were decent as well, we knew that we could put it up D, but when we say the replay started, and if looking back on it, he's done the right thing. Like, obviously, more experienced team. No, he did, because he just tore into us, and we weren't going to take we're not going to take some of these young lads where they were carried on, or where they thought that they're able for us. You know what I'm saying? And it's the right thing to do when they're into us. And not one player had any problem with it, to be honest with you. You know, he tore into us a few pulls. That's the way it was. And that's the way the game was being played back then. Let's be honest with you. The one or two over the top pulls, but the players never thought that enough. Honestly, we didn't bail out any player or sit in pubs saying that was disgraceful. No, because that's what should have been done.
Yeah, I know. And I remember, like, you know, look, man, in the dressing room saying, oh, wait till you hear the fruitcakes ringing into Desi Cahill's show tomorrow night now, Dalo. And he's saying this in front of the reporters nearly as well. Like, and do you remember that time the reporters would be in the dressing room nearly?
Yeah.
And but I said, Jesus, I don't know, Ger, I said, the Waterford boys were grand after the match. Like I said, I met all the fellas around me. I met Brownie, I would have met Dan, I was marking Dan for both days, and I met you, and the boys were grand. I says, you know, it was hot and heavy, fair enough, but they were grand. And he says, no, wait for it. And like, it probably did us more harm than ye, really, in some ways. Yeah. You know, with Lohan getting suspended and Lynch then subsequently getting done over like 3 months for what he done. I know I was a bit wild, but it was...
I think it was all over the top, to be honest with you. Like we were used to bouncing Ballygunner County Finals, so there's nothing new in that, really, you know? But I think it was over the top. I think it was definitely over the top, the reaction from it a bit, definitely the suspensions, you know? Like I said, you know, like... We never, as players, we never really thought that. No, we were going mad. We lost the game. That was all, you know.
Yeah.
Not about that beforehand or after, you know.
So you came out and hurled Savage against Galway the following week,
against Galway actually. Yeah, it was the first game in Croke Park was 30 something years at the time. We played great stuff. We actually played probably our best hurling. We played very good hurling for maybe 30 minutes against Tip in the second half down Park Heath. And that was our best full game up against Galway. We kind of relished that match and we enjoyed it. And Croke Park seemed to suit us. And we had some lovely hurling game. We won by 10 points. It was 120 and 10, which was one bad form back then, you know.
No, and unlucky then in the semi as well. Like, we could have easily met up again if things had gone different. You mentioned the sign and the Gunners there. Jesus, around that period, I know they're dominant now, and you're kind of a bit like ourselves at home. I think it was 2006, you last won 1-1, was it?
Yeah, 2006, yeah.
Yeah, 2005 with us, so it's a kind of a famine. We're hoping things are on the up, but who knows? But you had savage battles with yourselves and the Gunners, really. If you didn't win it, they probably won it, like.
Yeah, it was unreal. So many games were unbelievable. Like, we were playing Ballygunner. You nearly know every year you're playing Ballygunner in the county final. I won 6 championships at Ballygunner, 5 of them. You know, and they were massive matches. There were probably 7,000 or 8,000, 10,000 at them games in Wells Park, you know. There were good, great games. Like, we had a good team. Ballygunner had a great team as well. You had Hartley, Flynn, Frampton, Billy O'Sullivan, Andy Maloney. Like, they were top quality. Like, they won the most. They were getting the most of our club finals. We were getting the most of our club finals, you know. So we kind of, both teams really helped each other get better and better. It was a great rivalry, actually. I know, same again, like, we had some unreal bat to them. And some games, some county finals did go over the top, right? But it never went beyond the field.
Did it go beyond that bloody tunnel in Walsh Park?
That was another day. We won't go there now, right?
I know, but the first time I was in Walsh Park I was just there as a spectator, didn't take any notice. Next time I was there, I was playing a league match. Now, this is way back, this is early 90s, I'd say very early 90s, and I'm talking 90, 91. Yeah. Jesus, I said, there'd be someone killed in this tunnel like this when I came out.
Yeah, I nearly was one day. I'd rescue Owen one day in there with some crack, Jesus, and what was like. It's like something of World War II in there. You couldn't see who you were hitting.
The darkness and everything. There was something very pure about it as well.
I was saying, swinging, hitting your own lads and everything. But the Ballygunner thing was an unreal rival. Never went beyond that. And people often say it was brought up loads of times over the years and did it affect Waterford. It didn't. They brought on Waterford. That Mount Sion Ballygunner definitely lifted Waterford County at the time. to become maybe a top tier team, because they had such high levels and then we got to such high levels. And we they won three in a row in the 90s. But we were only going kind of coming at the time. All we wanted to do was win the county champs and beat Ballygunner. And we won our own three in a row in the 2000s, you know. So it brought us on both clubs. And from that, they were used to, say, certain levels of training outside of Waterford. So when you come back into Waterford, you expected that again. You want more and more. It did definitely belong in county, but they'd be great lads. Hartley, Flynn, or Fra, all them guys would the respect that Mount Sinai and Ballygar would have at the time was unreal, you know. And there were great games to play in, great games. The 10,000 at the county final, it was unreal, you know.
Yeah, we beat them in the 97 Munster Club semi-final. Jesus, they were a great team, in fairness to us. It was a great game of hurling. We actually went down to Walsh Park the first week to play them, and it was rained off. We were down in Waterford, actually. We even drank a few fucking pints in Rowan Moore's clubhouse. when we got the news, we have a kind of a twinning thing at under 12.
Oh, yeah, with Rowan
Moore.
Yeah.
Rowan Moore and Coucullions in Armagh. Yeah, and 1 year it's in Armagh, 1 year Clarecastle, and 1 year Rowan.
I
don't know who made the initial connection, you know, way back. It was one of the Armagh boys. We always had the thing with Armagh going back to the 70s. I think when our lads were going up in the civil rights marches and stuff. and a few of them enlisting and stuff like. I'm not joking about that either. But they had some connection with Rowan Moore then. So that's how that started. So we were in there. We were in their club, yeah. And someone said, "It's off, is it? Definitely off." And he says, "Yeah, it's definitely off. It'll probably be on next week."
Yeah, it was definitely off. You had a point. Yeah.
Can we have a pint? Can we have a pint, Rodgie? With Sir Rodgie McMahon as the manager, you know. Can we have a pint, Rodgie? You can have one or two. Sure, we made about four stops on the way from Waterford back.
Yeah.
You know, and then everyone said on about preparation and everything. And we went out the following Sunday because it was switched to Thurles then because Walsh Park still wasn't ready. And I switched to Thurles, and it was 2:14, 1:14. And I remember the headline in the Examiner on the Monday morning was Clarecastle in a classic. After what we'd done to ourselves the previous Sunday.
I know, it's mad, Jay. Like, you know yourself, you did a total opposite and it might work for you. And that's when sometimes you're worse. That's when they're scratching their head, aren't they? You're going, what the hell did that happen? Yeah.
Well, we built up so much to it, like, because we celebrated the final as you do. And then I think we had 3 or 4 weeks, they had to play a quarter final maybe. So we had about 4 weeks. So we stopped partying after 3 or 4 days and really said we'd have a go. Yeah. And then when it was off, you know, there's nothing worse than a match being called off, really, is there? Like,
I'd rather get bit. Honestly, I remember once or twice the game's called off. I'd rather get bit. I'd have no interest. I'd be head to be gone, you know. But I just love Munster Club. You were the same. Some of the teams, like the clear teams, and it was unreal, like real tough, horrible. I used to love it, man. When we, as a club, we really enjoyed that. We County Championship was unreal. And, you know, ourselves a couple of days
Does the 2-0-2-1 get you, Ken? I know Six Mile Bridge had beaten us in that final actually in 2-0-2, and you had an epic battle with them in the worst of conditions to win the Munster Club.
Yeah,
and like that was a great chance. I know Burr subsequently won it, and they were very good. Oh. They beat us in 98, and geez, they were a great club team in fairness, but like. He'd have been expected to beat Dunleavy, which you respect.
We would have. No, we would. Look, we bet, who'd have beaten those two? Yeah, we bet Mullinahone. We bet a Dare first. Welsh Park, Mullinahone, and then bet Six Mile Bridge. I mean, a storm now. Jeez, you opened the dog out. It was unreal in terms.
I think it was
first Ulster on the Friday. We bet them on the Sunday. So it was like a month to Christmas. It was unbelievable few days. Unbelievable ourselves. Weekends I remember for the rest of life, but unbelievable. But we didn't really know how to handle Christmas, you know, whether do we leave it off? Do we train? What do we do? We're after having a long year off as well, probably 8 or 9 of us, so the bodies weren't great. But I think we maybe trained slightly harder after Christmas, and I think we were leggy, if that's saying, you know what I mean? I think there was no real going as that day against Dunleavy. I don't mean not for want of trying, because Dunleavy were a good team. Dunleavy met Port Tomney, I think, the year later. Like, Dunleavy, when they come down from the north, they coached all Dunleavy and Lochiel. He underestimated them at their peril. I think teams have seen that. But we should have been able, and it's another massive, massive regret. It was a game that we had enough chances that day. Even though we were leggy start off, we got into it with enough chances. We at time for 7 or 8 minutes, we bombarded their keeper. He stopped with everything. Everything he used to stop the ball going in. And it was an absolute sickener. One of the hardest defeats. We played Westmead senior team the week before that, 2 weeks before that, in a trial, kind of a dry run, but up there, because we were playing in Mullingar, and we beat them handy, and we were actually flying. And I know there was Dunleavy lads that came down, because they're so meticulous in how they do things up there.
Yeah.
And they just had a bit of a plan, and they stuck to it. But that's one that got away, to get an Ireland final against Bory with a right crack off Croke Park. But it was just one of them days. Do you know, sometimes you get a feeling during a game, you go, this is not going to be easy. Not that you're not going to win, but you knew that this is going to go to the very, very end. And I knew after probably 7 or 8 minutes that this is not going to be easy. But
yeah, when you're saying to yourself after 7 or 8 minutes, 10 minutes maybe, kind of, geez, if we get out of here with a win, I'll be happy. Yeah.
And you know them games, don't you?
Like, yeah, you do.
Like, and let's not cut ourselves, we all have them, and you know them games. And like, I remember saying, this is not going to be. I just knew, but you know, the pitch was tight, that there was not much room, that every point would matter, you know. But
yeah,
we got back to level, and we just didn't push on. Dodgy enough free that cost in the end, all right, but it was definitely a sickener, yeah. After a sickener, and kind of,
I know that was early 2003, obviously, but it was 2002 versus, you know, the way the month the
Ireland
club.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I know you'd say maybe 2007, and we talk about that in a minute. For me, and I've often chatted about, even lately with Mull about this, I thought 2002 was nearly your greatest chance, you know, in terms of it being like ourselves in 95.
When you make a bit first
race. I was there in Cork, my 7:32, you went down to that match. In 2002, what a game, what a victory, beating the All-Ireland champions and the way he did it. And it's just, and we wound up staying in Cork, myself and Tutsi, even. we said we'd have won. And we made a load of Waterford lads. You think there'd be bitterness there from 98?
You kind of enjoy that, we just have won, don't you? You enjoy that, I think.
Stop, yeah. I'm just the victim of myself there, Ken, you know.
One and a zero next to you. That's what you'll have now.
We went into some place we thought it'd be quiet and was full of Waterford lads celebrating. And like, we just kind of rode in with them. And next thing we were ringing, looking to book a hotel room to see, because the drama was over at that stage anyway. But
yeah,
no, like for me, like then, I know you had the break, right? And which is, you know, we all say that 5-6 weeks is murder, like, you know.
It's hard
to handle it, and it's difficult. But like for me, like Clare Beachy, fair enough. And I remember Billy Sullivan and myself, the GA, invited the two of us into the GA box that day with the wives and that. And we had a great old day, actually, a bit of food, and you know, I wasn't involved. My first year, not on the panel in years, and sitting there, like just enjoying the whole thing, and you could nearly smell the way Clare's experience, I suppose, coming down the stretch, kind of kicked in. But for me, when you look at the way Cork then came after the strike, we'll say, you know, 03 onto 04, 05, and then that Kilkenny team came.
In hindsight
only now. It's very easy talk.
Yeah.
Like now. But in hindsight though, they were not the force in that final that, you know, that they were when you met them again in the final. I often say that to Mull, that I thought that was, you know, when the iron is hot, you need to strike.
Exactly. Like you'd see it in so many teams that make the first take our initial breakthrough and just drive it on and finish it off. You know, it's happened so many times over the years. But yeah, that 6 week break probably was. But look, that can be an excuse as well. And maybe we're always like, we look back on them years, we say, we did 6 week break and what do we do wrong or whatever. Like any team win their first month of title, the first few days after that are great cracking. You have to celebrate them, you have to put that the bed that you won it, like 39 years since you won it. It's like a mini All-Ireland to us, really. But then we were back folks, we were back training hard, and like we done everything that we done leading up to that Munster final, the way we were training. Like that was Justin's first year, and early on that year in the league, we were questioning, say, what was going on and what he was going about things, whether we're going to be fit enough, whether we were intense enough in our training. But he was just purely getting ready for a championship, and he kicked on to a different level from May on, you know. They did, a few weeks were very good. Now, probably, did we handle maybe the, look, how do you describe it? Like, you know, before you win it, they're, oh, they're not bad players, or look, they'll be up, they're not a bad team, and you win them once a title, and it's like, just they're great lads, aren't they? Do that type of stuff. Yeah. Did we handle that right, you know? And did it get in the fellas' heads? I don't think it did. I just don't, I just think we started the game fairly well. Gave away a poor goal just before half-time. A mistake again, it was a poor goal. And they just, I thought Clare ground out the second half, and their big players stood up and played well. Baker, McMahon, Lone, Lynch. They're good players. The big quality players they had, and the experienced players just really, they just kept us at bay. And we were poor. We were poor in the second half. And I was poor, I'll be honest with you. I was poor. And we were poor, and we just didn't, we never got going really, and never, we never looked like failing that game, I didn't think, in the second half.
Yeah, it was... It was one, I just thought that was one. Obviously, on to 204, the greatest game. Man, we just the thrill to watch it there a few weeks ago when the lockdown matches were on, like, you know. And again, you'd given me, that was my first year managing Clare, you'd given me the greatest fucking bait and you feckers you in the first round. absolutely annihilated us. But, like, it was just an amazing game, wasn't it? It was just one of those ones just, like a bloody forest fire, and we know once see forest fires, but just ignited, like, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It ignited. I was watching the game. I think it was on Easter Sunday, wasn't it? The start of the kind of lockdown. Yeah. We were on every week nearly. So I'm definitely pulling things up there. And after a while, the kids were laughing at me, saying, "What happened to your teeth? What happened to your teeth?" Or yeah, that game, looking back on it, I probably think we probably played better hurling in 0-2. We played some lovely hurling 0-2 against Tip, and it was probably nearly 0-2 was a final. It was probably nearly a nicer game, if you know what I'm coming from. A nicer game. 0-4 was a bit of it was non-stop and kind of wild, you know. Now looking back on it now, I always thought it was nearly a better game than when I watched it. I thought it was good, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
maybe we've probably been hard or harsh on ourselves, but I thought it was a good game. Maybe a very good game. Looking back, watching it, I didn't think it was a brilliant game. Playing it, I thought it was around that time. I thought it was because it was non-stop. You made a mistake against that Cork forward line. You were punished. And that's what you know yourself. That's what I love playing. I loved playing against the teams where you make a mistake against your punished, because that to me was the real challenge of hurling. You made a mistake against Dean. Corcoran, it was a point or a goal. You made a second to Kenny, it was a goal. Eddie Brown and Shefflin, they were gone, you know. And that's where you're living on edge the whole time playing. That's why it's love. But after that Cork team, like, they play different styles of us, obviously. We kind of got the ball into the areas, we felt that we do damage in. We got the ball fast into Milan, fast into Dan, high or low, any way you want to just get it in, long into Seamus, he win the ball, he feed it off the flame. That's the way we played. Cork were more working the ball. It's something like the way the game's playing now. The pop passes, the move from midfield. But it was definitely, as a player, it was probably the most enjoyable game I played because it was non-stop. It beat Cork up in Thurles. For 30 years, we were only looking at Cork in Munster Finals. You know what I'm saying? So for us to beat him up in Thurles was huge. It was huge in all fairness, you know.
Yeah, and it was some saga between yourselves and themselves for a good few years, wasn't it? Like, it was just...
Yeah, it was bananas. Like, geez. I think we played, I don't know how many times we played each other, but I think it was only 2 points between us in all them. John coming from, I think the average four, I think it was only 2 points. Like, we had some huge games against them, huge games. The difference is, they won two other.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what the killer is, because we knew that we were every bit as good as them. And obviously the games proved that and showed it, but they won the 0-4 and 0-5 of Ireland we're still kind of with our arms swinging, you know. That's the problem. And you never take away that either, you know. So,
Even that 0-6 game, like, you had them, and I was in my last year with Clare, and we were in the other semi-final against Kilkenny, but, you know, just watching it, like, and Jesus, looked like you had them that day as well. Like, and obviously, they were going for three in a row. Like, Kilkenny weren't the force. Yes, again, like, do you know?
No, they weren't. Kilkenny from, say, 2000 on, were always a top quality team, but they weren't the 07, 08 or 90 Kenny. They weren't, you know, and that's just the way it was. But yeah, Lochtin came on. I remember the first ball went down in front of the Hogan stand, and I was playing well enough. I went to sweep around behind him. I think he was in front, I think it was Dickie Prendergast. First touch, bang in the hand, unbelievable score over the bar. And right, we'd watch this fella because he was new at the time and he had a bit of pace, but for him to do that straight away, I was like, he must be playing well in training, he must be on his game to do that. So in such a competitive, say, high pressure game. And then the goal then was the killer. I suppose I blame myself a bit for that goal. It was a horrible day. I went to probably roll lift the ball underneath the Cusick stand, which I never do. So I was close enough to the line, and Corcoran got a flick in between my legs, the ball straight between my legs, and Dean ran in, passed the knock and goal. And in the space of 3 or 4 minutes, you're up and you're down 4 points. So it was 3 or 4 points then, you know. So it was an absolute killer. We got it back. We got it back well, and it was a very, very tense game. It was a misty kind of a day. It was a great game for playing, I'll be honest with you, but it's definitely one that got away again, you know, because yeah, there are the mistakes that you can't be making if you want to win all Ireland, you know.
Yeah, and then 07, and I won't torture you anymore now about the all Ireland's.
It's a great old Thursday morning here, but
yeah, so, very much. Just back for your holidays.
I'm going to run and jump over the back wall here now in a minute. I don't care where I land.
Well, no, I look at you. You just had such a roller coaster career. It's fantastic stuff. Like, you could talk all day about it. But like, after beating them 9 points in the Munster final, Limerick, and then there was a new system in place, wasn't there? You beat Cork then, like,
yeah,
and meeting them again, like, jeez, that was one that mystified me. Now I have to say, I thought you were nailed.
Yeah, it was crazy. We beat Cork in the semi-final. We beat Limerick in the Munster final. End up playing Cork again. Draw, replay, and then beat Limerick, you know. So, you know, we bet probably 9 points once. The final was a bit probably a false score. It was a tough game. I think Dan got a couple of goals in the last couple of minutes to probably put us to 9 points up. But the two games against Cork were eight games. It was still that great, very good Cork team. The Ben O'Connor, Jerry O'Connor, O'Halby, Corn, a whole lot of them. And we bet them very comfortably enough. It was 4 points in a replay in Croke Park, and that was huge for us, Dalo, to beat Cork in Croke Park, you know. But we actually played well, and we were very confident going in, coming out of Croke Park that day, going back on the train, looking forward to the train, and we knew we were playing the following week, but we overdone it in training. I honestly think we overdone it in training, and I don't think it was badly managed. I just think it was over exuberance. Do you know where I'm coming from? Yeah. Fellas were after winning the Munster Championship, winning the league against Kilkenny, winning the Munster Championship, beating Cork in a replay. Just couldn't wait to carry on and carry on. But we probably just still. I felt at the time we should have just taken handy for maybe a couple of days. You go up so high, to get back down, to get back up again. Right, just felt we're up high the whole time. Do you know?
Yeah.
You can get back down after that replay, to get back up and have that anger to go against Limerick again. And when we got that at times in that Limerick game, we were fighting so hard. We were 9 points down at the time. I think it was 11 points down at one stage in the Limerick game. Yeah. I think we got back to a point twice. But I felt if we had to have a nap on the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, going into Sunday, we'd be grand. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that sound silly?
No. Because in fairness to them as well, like, they had the trilogy with Tip early that year. And they knew their team as well, like, you know, and they'd beaten Clare in the quarterfinal.
They were a very good team. Like, you go through that Limerick players, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's some of the best Limerick players that everyone learned on that team. Foley, yeah. Ollie Mourne. Like, these lads were great players. And obviously, we're right to have a cut off us and probably say, jeez, this is Waterford. We're not playing. We're not playing Kilkenny. We're not playing probably Cork. We'll have a go off these fellas, no bother, you know. And they did. You know, Richie Bennett's had them wound up. And they tore into us, and look, it's what can you say, really? We gave away 5, I think it's 5-9 they scored, you know. So I don't
even. Yeah, Donny Ryan, TJ's brother, got a couple of goals, and TJ does the pod.
He did, yeah. And he actually got a great volley one ball. It was a great goal, actually, yeah. I think in the first half, you know. And, like they tore into us from the start, and we got it back. We didn't panic, and there was actually no stage in that game where I felt we weren't going to win until they got a penalty and he buried it, and I think we got back to a point again, and then Begley caught a ball over Deggy Prendergast over the left hand side of the square, popped in and buried it, and the game was over. And I remember this, I tried to get back at it, and I just buried it past Clinton. I remember us bowling the head saying, "Now we're gone now. Only 2 or 3 minutes to go." But look, and that was probably, to me, that was their hardest defeat, you know, because with no disrespect to Limerick, it wasn't Kilkenny, it wasn't Cork that was beaten. It was Limerick who were after beating by 9 points a few weeks before that. So it was very, very hard, yeah.
Yeah, and it's one that I suppose, look, they'll talk about and all during lockdown, the greatest players that never won in all Ireland. And of course, could be anywhere from centre back to midfield to centre forward to full back on that team.
I won't be full back.
did you not ever get tried? Oh, you were tried there. Davey tried you there.
I'm not the greatest player in my house, full back. I might say. We were struggling a bit. Kevin Moore played fullback against Clare at the time up in Limerick, and we got well bet. And Davey put me in there. I still do a job, no bother. I was all stars centre back from 07, and I was full of confidence. Yeah, I'd play. I missed the Clare game because I was getting a clear out on my knee, and I came back. But I was limping in the train, and I was all over the place trying to get back because no Davey's going to make this impression. I was mad to be in there. But I played fullback against Offaly, against Antrim, and against Wexford. I didn't concede that, but I was wide open. I didn't concede that, but they got some scores around me. I was mad about the pitch. You have to have a different mentality for fullback, don't you? You know, I was trying to do the job the best I could, but I was mad about playing in the action, you know. And Clinton had a pain in his head from shouting at me, "Ken," all I heard was, "Ken, get back, Ken, get back, Ken, where are you going?" Shut up, man, will you? And I remember I was going to send her back for the semi final, and I played well in the semi final. I was happy to be out there, but you make a mistake in there, you're in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah, it's the last line of what can happen. But come here, like it doesn't seem like from getting to know you since I suppose I got to know you around 07, 08, and we know each other fairly well now from the RTE stuff, I suppose, that we actually watched that Champions League final together last year in my hometown.
That was a great crack.
That was a great crack. And I wasn't on telly the following day. I'd asked for the weekend off.
We'd only 4 points, Hell Road. I wanted to go home. You wouldn't leave me go home.
Well, no, I think it was all our young lads in there saying, "Is that Kim McGrath or Dela?"
That was a great crack.
Well, come here, what I was going to say there was, like, I don't think it eats you up not having that All-Ireland medal, like.
No, I'd be honest. I know yourself, it's, do you know when you know that you've had to give so much to something and you're fighting so hard for it and doing your 100% best and you didn't win it, what can you do about it? At the time back then, I was obviously, you're devastated every year, and honestly, you're depressed after a defeat like a semi-final that happened so much, probably 3 or 4 years in a row. And we looked to be at the club at the time to come back and refocus on the club, and we always knew we had a chance of winning the county champs or most of the champs of the club. But for the first maybe couple of years after retired, or even 8, 9, 10, it kind of gets you down. But no, I don't, because I know I couldn't do any more myself. I enjoyed all the matches I played in, even some of the defeats. They were great games. And look, and this is, I keep on saying this, and maybe that last from Kilkenny might think it's a loser mentality or whatever, I'm not too sure, but when I was growing up in the 90s, all we wanted to do was be involved in big matches. All we wanted to do was get into Munster finals, and we were looking at all the teams saying, "Oh, we look, they were like fellas out of a different world to us." Some of the Cork players and Tip players and Kilkenny players, and we were like, "Oh, we're from Waterford, don't come from." Yeah. And then Limerick made a breakthrough, he made a breakthrough, and that gave us hope to say, "Right, this is happening now. We can be Wexford made it. Why can't we be as good as them, man? And be involved in these big matches and be on the paper instead of a little snippet in the corner, Waterford played whoever team, and they're up in the up Division 1 next year's own come. We wanted to be talked about as a proper hurling team. And in all fairness, we've done that. And we definitely, to me, from 98 on, Waterford were in the top table, in the top five or top six. Obviously, didn't mean all Ireland, but we were up there. And some of the players I played with were some of the best players to play the game. A great crack. Don't come from. We saw the world and all star trips on trips after with Waterford and stuff. So the best crack you'd ever have. Like, if someone told me when I was 16, 17 that I'd have that in 15 years, I would have said, no bother, I'll take it. Now, someone tell me, I wouldn't be learning either, even saying, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like you're kind of caught, but honestly, my father played for 15, 16 years of war from the 70s up to the mid 80s. I think they won three championship matches, you know. So, the difference in what we got out of it, what, and yet ultimately we fell short. Ultimately, we were short something the way we did feel short, if you know where I'm coming from. We, to get to that many semi finals, to get to that many chances of winning one and not winning one, we were short something. But it was some journey. And I know that sounds a bit silly or whatever, but it was unbelievable. Like, playing in packed stadiums all around the place, and the matches were unreal. The atmosphere was brilliant. The crack we had down the field and stuff was unbelievable, you know.
Yeah, and I wrote a piece about you a few weeks back in the old Monday column. Like, just I think he'd be a team that'll be remembered for. We won't all be remembered forever, obviously, because, you know, we'll all be dead and gone and whatever. But like, in our lifetimes, that team will never be forgotten. Where I actually compared it in the piece that maybe there's lads in Kilkenny with three or four All Ireland medals that wouldn't be remembered in the same league as some of you guys. You know, you were household names, and the style of hurling you played as well, I think, was that swashbuckling, you know, off the cuff stuff that maybe if there was a little bit more of the what we see now, the defensive side of things, and that maybe you would have got over the line. But that I think hurling people took great joy out of the way you played, you know.
Yeah, I think we played, and that's why I'd be proud of that team, say, because the way we did play, like some of the stick work during that time. And look, and this is probably everyone's talking about the older games, and Jesus, some of the older matches weren't great, or some of the older players can only play the way the game was played at the time, you know. Like, I honestly feel that the best players in the 70s would be the best players now, because they could adapt to what the game has been played. The best players in the 80s, likewise, everyone would do the same. And we came along in the 2000s and we played fast hurling, opened our shoulders, moved that ball at pace, got the balls into where we'd cause trouble with the forward line we had, Milan, Seamus, Flynn, our own, causing havoc in the corner. With all different teams went on, Kelly, midfield, we had players that would do damage against any team. But I remember training in West Park, and this is what I remember probably as much as anything, and it's we always felt like it was warm. It wasn't warm. It couldn't feel as Ireland in the summer. But I always feel it was sunny. And I remember times playing mixed matches saying, this is unbelievable, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I remember saying, Jesus, this is what they're in here for. Like, yeah, the ball was flying around. Milan zipping around. Kelly, Dan, Tony next to you. The ball was zipping. And I remember saying, like, this is a top quality team, you know? You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
The whole thing, the Ireland thing, every September, well, it's August now, but every September before that, for that weekend, I'd like a prior. She just don't leave me off. I'd have to go on the beer. I'd have to do something, because if I think about it too much, and that's the only really weekend that really does affect me, that Ireland weekend when you see, you know, they could have a past thing for Ireland medal winners or whatever, or different things going on. And we're always the ones that's like this, the box at all, or having the point up. And, you know, and that's the only, that was the weekend that always kind of would kind of brought it at you a bit, but look, what could you do? And then you're over it then, and you know. But no, look,
it was an unreal chapter. It was like we had our battles with you. Obviously, your seven cock was a whole different gravy, but yeah, I think it just was a great team, and I don't care, medals don't define guys, I don't think, anyway. And
I don't think so. Yeah, because even like you look at, say, certain players that, I was thinking about this, because say even like Salim, not Niall Rigby, Dalo.
Niall Rigby
was as any player Do you know what I'm saying? And so that's not Noel Rigney. I don't mean this, but that's not Noel Rigney's fault that he played the Leach where they weren't successful. Noel Rigney was unbelievable. If Noel Rigney's in another county, remember how tough he was and the hurling he had, and he'd cut you in half as well. But even like significant players like Dave Clark, Stephen McDonagh, Gary, Mike Coulihan, that's the way it is, you know.
Even some of the Galway boys around that time as well,
Ollie Canning, Broderick, Damien Hayes. Yeah. That's certainly if you look at even was Pip went from 71 up to 89 that we now learned as well, you know. So that's 17-18 years, and there were players involved in that. Limerick as well was 73 up to 2018, you know. They're top quality players. And there's always, you'll always have something why you didn't win one. For us, probably that Unreal Kenny team came along and dominated the 2000s. Cork in that middle, the early 2000s were brilliant as well, you know. So, were we as good as them? As Kilkenny, maybe not as Cork were, but they done the business later on, you know. So, there's always something why you didn't win it, you know.
Obviously now, Ken, you're a supporter, no more than myself. And are you excited by the Liam Cahill thing? Mull seems to be excited anyway. Mull has gone in spine on training a few nights, I think, early in the year. I know you're not training at the moment, though, obviously.
Mull would be excited about some Paw Patrol, I think, at this stage.
He would.
He'd kids hanging out with him as well, but he'd be excited getting out of the house for a walk. He was doing well. He obviously doing well. I think this year's so strange. I don't know, but look, it's happening such a mad year for everyone. It's hard to get your head around that it's going to be the Championship hurling, or you really forget that some of the league games happened this year. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a bit mad. Yeah. Then we all had to refocus on different things. I probably took a step away, and everyone did take a step away from the whole off and kind of switch off from what was going on and the hurling side of things and just concentrate on normal stuff, basic stuff. We were all trapped in our house for weeks and stuff, you know. But he seems to be his own man. He's obviously confident in what he does. He's been very successful in Tip Honor 21, and I was involved in that, in picking that 21 team of the year for a couple of years with Jerry Cunningham and stuff, and Joe Canning, and I was watching a lot of games under 21. And the one thing I'd say about the Liam Cahill teams is they'll go to the very end, you know. I remember they got bet against Cork in, could have been last year they won it, and he was devastated afterwards. And I remember he said that's the first time ever since he had that team minor 21 that they never showed up. And just even that, when I heard that, I said, Jesus Christ, you know what I'm saying? Teams will always show up and will always go to the bitter end and always give 110%. And once you have that, and we have quality players, and they need to show it and they need to produce it. There's no point in keeping on saying that we have quality players, we have potential. Potential is only a word at this stage, you know.
Yeah.
And yet, what the Championship be like in October, November? It's hard to tell, isn't it? Will it even be on the way things are going? I don't know, Dale. You know, it's it all up in the air. You know, it's strange.
It is. And then we're hoping it'll go ahead, and we're hoping we'll get a chance to sit in a studio someday. And that was one of the things. Look, I can't let you go without talking about a couple of things. I remember last year, one of the days we were in, I think it was myself, yourself, and Don Logue, and you had gone off out to the Jacks or whatever, out watching. Do you know the way we were being out? And they said, he was asking, well, how are things? We were just chit-chatting. I said, geez, isn't Ken in a great place? I said, he was going to say it to you, excuse it, would you believe that? He says, Ken just looks like he's content with life and happy in himself. And you went through a fair bit, kid, you came up to me about, look, I had the sports shop since back in 96, and you decided to have a cut, and things were still very good in 07, countrywide, and I presume the busiest day you ever had in your life was the day before the All-Ireland final in 08.
That was the problem.
I know. And I had them day. I remember the 02 final. You know, we actually beat you in the sevens, and I couldn't even leave the shop to get up and go to the sevens.
It was that busy,
you know.
We got
up there about 11 o'clock that night, myself and I each. But I suppose you just hit it at a very unlucky time, really. You know.
Yeah, I remember. I was working with Top Oil, and I had a good little job at Top Oil. I was a rep for them for a few years, and enjoyed it. Popped into lads, you know, ourselves, it was all kind of hurling talk. And look, I got on great with them. was with a relationship, things were going well, but I always wanted to try something for myself. I felt at the time that there was room for a sports shop, but in Morford that would cater for a lot of GA lads as well, you know. And I don't think it was done probably right in Morford at the time. Well, seven things were still going well. I remember popping up you when you were saying, and geez, you're great, we love you, day up, and said, Dormant up. And you were saying, yeah, it's good now. It's not easy. It's not easy. Like, you know, it can be tough. You have your days. But I remember you saying to me, one thing you said was, be certain day in the summer, you're sitting down, you're bringing your coffee, starting off before you open the doors. You open the doors up then, and there's kids in, and it doesn't feel like a job. You know? Yeah. And I remember for a lot of that time for the sports shop, it didn't feel like a job. It was lovely. Kids coming in, families coming in, you're putting helmets on, you're getting boots, you're getting this, you're getting that. When we moved down to the bigger shop in the middle of town in George Street, 2010 was decent, it was good enough. We probably diversified too much. And remember you telling me that, be careful on that side of things. Don't try to do everything, but do something right. You know where I'm coming from? Yeah. And we probably got into everything. And it was probably nearly, not, I wouldn't say too much, but it was probably nearly getting to the stage where instead of picking, keeping the GA thing and doing that like 110% right, we got involved in everything. I know I said pre-ordering and doing different things. It's tough going. Like, right, that's a lovely top. And then Donna said, you go away now. Look, you're always picking all the stuff that you like yourself. Yeah. I was loving the Adidas stuff, you know, the three stripes. Jeez, you can't have a shop on the three stripe Adidas. But 2011 was a disaster. The weather was shocking. The recession was fully at the kicking of Morford. I'll be honest, like a ghost town down there, you know. Yeah. And I'd go in there at times and like, I'd be getting really depressed out of it. It was so hard. You remember the time, it was so hard. Yeah. And it might be no one walked past the street for a couple of hours. And then all of a sudden, you'd have a good Thursday, a good Friday, a good Saturday. You keep going again. And you were relying on a good Saturday every time. And when it gets to a good Saturday every time, that's too risky, isn't it? And then, look, we said we gave one last for that summer. The summer was a disaster. The weather was shocking. The whole thing was a write-off. And the end of the summer, I said, right, we're getting out of it because there's no point in me getting further and further in trouble with it. I'd done it fairly fast because I felt I had to deal with it or else I was going to be in bother for years to come, you know. And look, it was very hard. Jesus, embarrassing. You're putting up and putting down. And,
yeah, I know. But, like, that is the hardest part, isn't it? Like I was there 16 years and, you know, it's nearly again like getting the hiding in the All Ireland or the Munster finals.
Yeah,
it's nearly the bit of shame, you know. You're thinking of the mother and father saying, "Oh, Jesus, the business is closing down. What's he going to do now?" And all it, you know, that was my most difficult part. It wasn't like businesses fail. Like that's reality. And at that time, there was businesses failing that were 50 times bigger than ours.
Yeah, you know exactly. I remember the mother and father saying, "You're doing what?" And I said, I didn't get a wage in 6 months.
Yeah.
And I didn't, because you're trying to keep it going. And you know yourself, they were like, why are you doing? That's the way it was. You know, and I remember
What people didn't understand, Kane, I'd say, about the whole thing was that the suppliers could smell what was happening.
Yeah.
And they stopped. Like, your O'Neill's of this world, your Adidas, they stopped giving credit terms.
Yeah, they saw what was happening. The whole world, really, you know, especially Ireland as well, and retail. And look, retail is under so much pressure even now. Even before COVID-19, retail, it's such a hard game to be in. But they saw this coming, obviously. And look, I said, days in that shop are unbelievable. Days that didn't even feel like a job. So many over the years were great. But the hard ones are so hard. And sometimes you look back and you go, I remember at the time in 2011, the summer was terrible. October, November is normally poor. You know yourself, you're getting ready for Christmas. If Christmas is bad, you're under pressure for the following year, you know? So there was no way it was going to turn. So no. Me, it was a relief after I'd done it, but it was very, very embarrassing. If you really can't look something in the eye, you know? It's, I didn't walk past the street. I didn't walk past the street for a couple of months.
I know. It's only until a few people talk bloody sense to you, Ken, isn't it? And say, look, shite happens, get on with it. Like, you know,
Look, and But then I felt guilty then because I was like giving up that good job, you know, to try it and putting all our money into it. And we put a lot into it and got it up. And then we moved. And then we moved the shop down in 2009. We were after putting loads into this as well, you know, to get it all right. But you have to try and do it because you always feel that we'll get through it. Things might change. But then the recession was only getting worse. No one probably knew how long it was going to last for me, you know. So, look, thankfully God, I got out of it then because probably be under pressure still now, I'd say, you know.
Oh, yeah, look, I'm only sorry I didn't go about a year earlier. That's
It
bloody well cost me more trying to hang in there, but
that's pride
comes before a fall, of course, to say.
Oh, exactly, you know? In anything, and we're all the same, and like your name is over the door, and you're putting the clothes down, going on the oak. Oh, geez, tough, you know.
Tough going, yeah. But come here, that's business, and that's, we bounce back from that, and you have, of course. But come here, December 13, and I know you hadn't been feeling great for a while before, but, like, geez, that put things in perspective.
It did. And to be honest, we're only after kind of getting our, financially and probably mentally, everything, getting ourselves kind of back on track after shops. It takes a while, don't you? You know yourself, it takes a while for everything to get right. And I was working in GSK at the time, up with Dungarvan, because I would have working in Norton, be Teva now in the pharmaceutical industry for a good few years when I was young, say, right? So, and it would have been a good enough job as well. So, when you have that experience, you normally get into pharmaceutical companies fairly okay. So, this was ideal to get us back on track and just get things kind of sorted, you know. But I wasn't feeling well, no, I couldn't put on weight. I had no energy, and I couldn't put on weight for a good few years. If you even look back, maybe. 10 matches, no 9. I was like a stick. Where in 07, 08, I was fit, but I had a bit of shape to it. You know where I'm coming from? Yeah. I remember playing club games, and I was saying, Jesus, I'm losing some weight. You know, but it's like you don't really think about it until you look back on it. You look back at a few pictures, you go, Jesus, what was that? But no, it wasn't right. I was going about it for a while to see what the story was. But look, eventually, I'm driving the Dundrums, and I was saying I had a few points like before, because I was involved in our Tremonti in Mount Sinai, and we lost a few points with the players. We're going to Dundrum up for the weekend of Dublin. I remember saying, I'm getting a pain in my head, and Dom's going, you had a few eggs, a few drinks. I said, hey, there's only 4 points. I was driving, I was grand. But this all kind of came along, so I ended up being looking at the Arkeno and hospital. So I had a brain hemorrhage there, but it was after kind of correcting itself, right? I was like, right, how do you correct itself? Or am I getting any more answers? But I got no real answers from it. And I just kind of like saying, right, that's a bit strange. And go back to work after Christmas then, and it all kind of escalated again, and different kind of things were wrong. And my ankles swelled up one day, they were massive, and I was still tired, and during the night sweat, the usual stuff with a big kind of something's wrong with you, with Darkeen again. And after probably a week of tests, came back to an abnormal valve, you know, so I need to get a open heart surgery, and the valve replaced, and that was it really. But to me, that was the start of everything changing for the good. You know what I mean? I look back from that day in hospital, and they told me that, till now, the difference. As you said, I wouldn't have shoot. You said, lads, I came to a good place. I'm not having an unbelievable 5-6 years, a new lease of life, really, and everything. Like people getting up with COVID-19, that they couldn't go here or couldn't go there. Like, I was lying in the hospital for 3 months. You couldn't get out of bed, you know. So COVID-19 was that was a holiday, really. So 6.5 years over that. The valve is meant to last 10 to 15 years, and you get done again. But
you can get a new one.
You get a new one again then. So I got a pink tissue valve, you know. So I'm on no medication. So I was what, 35, 36 getting it done. So I was active, I was young. If you want a mechanical valve, you're on warfarin, you're on blood thinners, there's a few stuff, you're limited what certain things you can do, or what, you know, there's a couple of stuff could happen, you've been on these tablets. So that's what they recommended, that's what they said, look, this is what you're getting, this is the story, and we'll worry about 10-15 years time, where I'm coming from. But I get every year an echo, you know, to measure, to say that the size of the valve, is it working, is it flowing properly? And that's it, you know, so don't think about it at all. And it's only every now and again, like, where was I actually? I was couldn't on the beach, not a good weather there early on, there was in May or June, and I almost said, what happened to your chest? No, and that was it then on the beach, and I started telling them. I think I told another young fellow one time, it was a shark bite. He ran out of the water and he got a fright of his life. But that's it. I wouldn't think about that since, you know, and hopefully then, hopefully another 7 or 8 years out, we get done again, then that's it, you know. But I won't have that stay in hospital before that, because I had an infection in the heart called endocarditis from the valve not working. That was the tricky part. That was the hard part to get fixed before I get the valve replaced. Or next time it'll just be, you're coming in at this stage, you're getting the valve replaced, you have your recovery then, you don't come from. So it'd be handy. Piece of cake.
Jesus, I tell you, you're tough, and now you're working for Owen, and you're like a fella that be smoking a bit of weed, like going around selling coffee, man. I can picture you, if the laws were changed in this country, like in Amsterdam, you'd be going into the coffee houses and saying, hey, what about Mean Bean here? We got to get it in.
Only me on a Thursday. Where are you? But no, it's great. Yeah, that was 2014, right? So Owen set the company up in 2014, Mean Bean. So he was getting busy. He worked with a different coffee company before that. So he kind of wanted to go on his own. And I was recovery after open heart surgery is tough. You do a lot of walk and you're going to get your body back again, you know. So I was off for that whole summer, and the summer was lovely. And then he said, look, I'm busy. He was ready to come in with me. He said, on the road, he said, look, back to what you're doing for years, you love it. And I said, okay, no bother. So that was, I was starting in September with him. So I'm starting my 7th year with Owen in 2 months' time, you know. So we're coffee wholesalers on the road the whole time. You're popping into everyone, your restaurants, your cafes, your pubs, pubs, strange, you know, but your golf courses, hotels, the whole lot. So it's that's lovely. I love it. Absolutely love it, yeah. So drinking coffee the whole time. Wound up driving around 100 miles an hour. But I never drank coffee before. I was at my own and said, hey, you want to start drinking coffee now? Because we be, you know, you'd be in taste and stuff, or you'd be having to get stuff right. And I took my first cup of coffee and I got sick. I was like, oh, shit. But no, so drink lattes. So I start off with lattes, say, and cappuccinos. I was like a little girl going around. But now I love it. I love it. So look, you could be in doing training with the lads in different cafes, or to be fixing grinders and doing stuff, you'd be drinking little espressos. I'd be connoisseur now, Dale. I'd be connoisseur now. But I'm not a bore, not a coffee bore now, but a connoisseur. No, it's a great crack. We four on the road now. Four on the road, so it's yeah, it's great now, and it's lovely. So you're calling the same lads every week or every second week or whatever, and just popping in for a chat really. And I own them, be going mad. So every time he goes in, and where's Ken? And how's poor Ken? And if I'd be getting coffees and cakes, and lads be they'd be sick. I'd be but the winter is scones. I go for scones in the winter, scones cream in the winter. In the summer, then I know what I go for. I go for a bit of ice cream, maybe, and a coffee. You know, so the lads will be taking pictures on the device, put up the WhatsApp. They'd be sick.
it sounds good, kid. And look, I know you're in a great place. I know you are. You can just tell it off you this morning. It's great. And look, I hope we get to studioize each other later on in the year, up in Croker or down in Cork or something, and we knock a few sparks, maybe Clare and Waterford in a semi-final or something.
Yeah, it'd be great. No, I love that. We're having some great years now. Often. I know you're at a lot longer than me now. I think I'm at 4 or 5 years there now, and I love it every time. And the crack you have in the studio and that, some laughing, it gets you back interested again, wouldn't it? It gets you kind of back focused on it. And if I knew I was on a certain Sunday, like you're really tuned in that week to know what's going on and what's happening. And I said, sometimes when you're not involved, you take a step back, you're kind of away from it. But when you have that, it is great. But, I know it's a great crack, you know, in fairness. And it gets you focused and it gets you tuned in to what's going on, you know.
Come here, you've been so good at your time. And I know there's a beach day planned to finish after the holidays. So I want today, any long. They'll be giving out to me now, and Claire, for not mentioning that main slap you hitting Jerry Quinn in 2002, kid.
You're breaking up there.
I tell you, if he missed the final, I'd have had to go do a chapter on this, and we lost it, but no, he got the play in it. That's the main thing.
I know, look, for him to play the final was massive, right? Because, look, we were at a bit of niggling that game in the second half there, right? So things were probably going well for me. Like Jerry was firing off, right? That's the way he played. He knows that, look. And the one thing I didn't like as a player, right? And this is true. I didn't like a handle in the back or a handle in the side, right? It's what I didn't like. If someone done to me, I was liable to do anything. And I said to him at the time, don't do that again, right? And he put a hand in the back and turned around and gave him a stroke. Now, that was in me. It was in me then, all right? And I admit, without trying to be a hard man or be blasé about it, I was capable of doing that and not really thinking about it. And it wouldn't be, just looking back on it, it's not the right thing to do. You wouldn't be overly proud of it. That was in me, and I was liable to do that. And it wouldn't cost me a thought, you know, which is wrong. And at that time, I'd done it. That was it. It was only afterwards I was thinking to myself, that was wrong. Do you know where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
We're in the lift going up to there. And I know we lost the game. I was devastated about the game. And then I was thinking, saying, Jesus, what am I after doing? I hope you don't miss the other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was young enough at the time. I was going, oh. And then you're getting on with that. After losing Ireland semi-final, you're more worried about that and more kind of disappointed that you didn't play great, that you lost semi-final, rather than thinking about Gerry Quinn, say. And then probably Tuesday, Wednesday, you're hearing that you're debating this because of his knuckle or his finger or whatever, and you're kind of going, shit, like that was the last thing I would want. You know, like, there's no way I would intentionally try to injure him, to miss any game. I was never like that. You know, I put my hands up, I was liable to have a pull, no bother. And someone was say, antagonising me or whatever, Jesus, I was liable to do anything without even thinking about it. But there's no way I'd want him injured. And I probably should have probably made some sort of contact with him, which I didn't. I admitted that in the book. I admitted over different times that I didn't. That's probably the way I was as well. Like, I wouldn't be great at probably ringing heads up or texting them or whatever, but thankfully God, he played the game, and he, look, it must have been a hard time for him, and a hard time for him for preparation for his first All-Ireland, you know. It wouldn't be a proudest moment, but what can you do? You just that's the way it is, isn't it?
Oh, look, if, for a fella that was splashed on the front page of nearly most national newspapers only about 7 or 8 years ago, for a mad incident on a sideline as well. I know. When the blood is up, the blood is up, and we sometimes just lose it and stuff happens. And look, as I said, the main thing is Gerry got to play in the final.
I did. Look, and I wouldn't, I would never try to injure anybody. But in that time, and there's no point in me lying, You're pulling. Don't come from looking back. It is a bit. You're saying, right, that was. It's a bit over the top. But if sometimes it might only happen you 3 or 4 times in your career. If the switch goes, that was it with me. You know, which you'd be hoping that. My little fella's playing. You hope he wouldn't be like that. You know that.
We're hoping he has a bit of dawn in him. Like,
I don't know. You hope he's a bit of bite. Of course you do. You want a bit of bite, but you don't. You hope that.
If he is more a Don's genes, could he be the more dangerous on the field? Could he?
100%. Well, he'd be dancing around the centre forward. But it was one of them things, and it won't be. But look, fair enough. It's that. That's either in or it's not, you know. And at times, I could have given a stroke, you know. Which, yeah. What can you do,
mate? If you didn't care and you were that kind of, you know, just we're not all wired the same, and that's the reality of it.
No, and there's no trying to be a hard man about it. There's no point in I just said nothing about it. And then remember, there was so much stuff going on, and I didn't know what to do, whether I shouldn't really say it was me or whatever. Everyone knew it was me, say, right? But probably selfish-wise, we wanted to win a county championship now and sign, and we felt that we were going to win a championship and we had the right chance at Munster. Look, I was selfish at the time, and look, what can I say, really, you know?
That's sport, mate, and that's life. Yeah. You're in a great place, stay in that great place, and I look forward to having a pint with you after Clare win the All-Ireland, Brian Lawan as manager on Christmas week almost.
We have to have a substantial meal first though, wouldn't we?
Jesus, if we're still on the substantial fucking meals at that stage, I don't know where we'll be. Like.
Substantial meal is going to save us all, but we're looking. Hopefully seeing it in a few weeks' time, yeah, but look, it's mad, isn't it? It's mad. We don't know what's going to happen yet, you know, but it could be a once off year, a year that everyone will always remember if the champs goes ahead of 2020 Ireland champions, because it's going to be such a once off, you know.
Could be magic as well. Could be magic as well. You never know.
It could be. It's strange. It could be. It's Christmas week. If a fellas can retire after.
What will get us home? Come here. Get out the bodyboard there and go off surfing for yourself. You're a ledge. And thanks a million again for your time from my behalf, the Examiner, Larry, who's been enjoying and smiling away there in the background. Typical tip man. He's just taking it all in, you know what I mean? Back to back is all he's thinking, Ken. So look, thanks a million. I'll see you soon, okay?
No problem. Thanks, lads. See you there.
Cheers.
Okay. Thanks, see you, Larry. Thanks.